All right. He's here. Ken Smuckler and the Smuck Report.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, J. Antoine. Crash and Bernie, Hillary takes the torch from Shirley Chisholm, and the Donald takes a flamethrower to a piñata party. This is your Smuck Report. First, let me start with the passing of the greatest, Muhammad Ali, who upon beating Sonny Liston to take the title in 1964, replaced what he called his slave name, accepting the Muslim faith under the guidance of Malcolm X, and went on to become the greatest athlete of the 20th century. Tom, the last political statement Muhammad Ali made was to call for people to rise up against Trump's ban on Muslims entering the U.S. I'm sure the irony was not lost on Ali that had Trump been president in 1975 when Muhammad Ali returned to the U.S. after defeating Joe Frazier in one of the greatest fights in boxing history, the Thrilla in Manila, Trump would have stopped him at the border for his faith. Make no mistake, Sybil, Muhammad Ali knew Trump. Muhammad Ali liked Trump. But Muhammad Ali's last words were to condemn Trump and his ban on Muslims entering this country. I'm pretty sure that that irony of a Trump tweet praising Ali, a Muslim icon, upon word of his death, is entirely lost on the Donald, a man whose last stroke of intellectual curiosity came in the second grade at Kew Forest Elementary School when he asked the teacher how Dr. Seuss's Daisy Head Maisie could have a plant growing out of her smucking head. And really, Tom, talk about irony. Last night, Donald Trump took to the stage of the Palace of Zamunda North to claim the nomination of a homophobic party, a party whose platform rejects same-sex marriage as a mortal sin, to the sound of Queen's We Are the Champions, a tune which has become the fight song of the gay community, sung by Freddie Mercury, yeah, an icon of the international gay community who died of smucking AIDS. I swear Trump's campaign is so clueless they would lose a game of Family Feud if they were handed the survey answers in the smucking green room. But more to Trump later. First to Bernie, who you gotta hand it to, for a guy who, after running through an entire primary season, last night got the equivalent of a TV game show home edition consolation prize. Nothing phases this cat. Heading into the crash and burn, Sanders walks into a California rally to the thundering bass of DMX's Where the Hood At, a song that drops the word Igga. The N is silent faster than Kevin Durant's popularity dropped at a Tulsa sports bar after his Game 7 chokeathon. And really, Sybil, Bernie couldn't find his way to the hood if he was airdropped into the Jordan Down housing project for a barbecue hosted by the Grape Street Crips in the middle of smucking Watts. And as for those now leading the Bernie or Bust movement, Tom, the only movement Bernie is going to lead in Philly is the one he's having in the bathroom of the DoubleTree Hotel after skipping his daily dose of Metamucil. And why is that, Sybil? Because if anyone has benefited from the system by which the Democrats award delegates, it's Bernie. If every Dem primary was a popular vote and not a caucus, Hillary would have taken the gas out of these burners a month ago at the point in time where she held a 3 million popular vote edge on Bernie. Now Bernie wants to use the very part of the system he's been saying is rigged, the superdelegates, to overcome Hillary's lead among the very part of the system that he said is not rigged, the popular vote. I swear, Sybil, this is more intellectually dishonest than a Katie Kirk documentary on gun violence in America. Memo to Bernie, the last time a Jew was the victim of a rigged political system in America, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were being marched off to the electric chair in Sing Sing for espionage, and that was 1953. Now BS wants to go after Democratic National Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz for rigging the system and has even endorsed her opponent in the primary. Two words, Bernie: oy vey. First, Bernie, take it from the Smuck Report. Middle-aged Jewish American princesses are like Sicilians. They forget everything but the grudges. Remember this, Bernie. When Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir wanted to get revenge on the Munich terrorists, she didn't tell the Mossad to bring them back dead or alive. She told them to bring them back dead. Period. On to Hillary, who last night became the first woman of either major party to become their presumptive nominee for president of the United States. Holy Shirley Chisholm, Batman. And I would be remiss if I did not take a moment to remind our listeners that Shirley Chisholm, the daughter of immigrants from the Caribbean, became the first person of color to run for either party's nomination and the first woman to run for the Democratic presidential nomination in 1972.
Yeah.
when Hillary Clinton was a second-year law student. She called for a bloodless revolution at the 1972 Democratic Convention in Miami to be waged by blacks, young people, and an energized women's movement. Now, 44 years later, her dream just may come true. But still, Jay, we've got those damn emails. Look, Tom. I get it. When you're the Secretary of State, probably you should treat your emails with a tad more concern for their privacy than anyone named Kardashian has for a sex tape. And I don't know what the smuck is in them, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing near as crazy as a Donald Trump foreign policy tweet. I am pretty sure she's not discussing a face-to-face meeting with the nuclear nutjob from the Hermit Kingdom, Kim Jong idiot, or calling climate change a hoax created by the Chinese to destroy American manufacturing jobs. Which is about as dumb as saying that the lucky numbers on the back of Chinese fortune cookies are actually coded messages designed to sink our nuclear fleet in the South China Sea. But it's not her email, Sybil, that keeps Hillary's favorables underwater. It's what we call HFS. Hillary fatigue syndrome. Everything from a cackle that sounds like something out of a laugh track from What's Happening to the warmth of Morticia Adams. I swear, Tom, Hillary is harder to make human contact with than a speckled back gorilla at the Cleveland Zoo.
Oh my.
And just keeping it real here. And are we really supposed to think less of Hillary because she went after the woman Bubba, because she didn't go after the women Bubba cheated with? I don't know about you, Tom, but I like a woman who stands by her man when the man cheats. I don't hate Iggy Azalea for getting a fit of Twitteria over Nick Young's side chicks. I love her more for it. I don't want Queen Bey to break up with Jay-Z. I want her to call out Becky with the good hair. Look, Jay, Hillary stood by her Bubbaloo come hell or high thong. And that's what we want in a president. Because every now and then our allies are going to screw around with skank countries. And when that happens, we need to stand by our allies and call those troll nations out who even think they're going to smuck around with our booze. On to the Donald, who within 24 hours of becoming the presumptive nominee, tries to reassure conservatives that he's one of them by releasing a list of potential Supreme Court nominees. And at the top of that list is one Joan Larson, a former clerk to Justice Scalia, who, while in the Bush Justice Department, wrote the legal justification for waterboarding, which, of course, is fitting, Jay, as she would be nominated to the highest court by a man who thinks waterboarding should be entered as an Olympic sport in the 2020 Tokyo Games. Then Trump confirms his earlier statement that guns do not belong in the classroom, but a couple hours later says that, maybe they should have them. Memo to Donald, I realize your experience in the classroom runs more to Trump University, your online educational business about as real as Pixar's Monsters University, where teachers, if they taught at all, did so in cyberspace. But in most of America, when we talk about putting guns in the classrooms, we're talking about arming the teachers in the classroom, not the smucking grade schoolers, you moron. Honestly, Sybil, I can't tell whether Trump is just a chia pet, all hair growing out of a rock, or just a fraud, like Love and Hip Hop's Atlanta's K.K. King at the cosmetics counter of the Sex Fifth Avenue in Buckhead. And speaking of Trump U, the Donald reacts to a federal judge's public release of Trump University documents by declaring the judge biased because he's a Mexican, which is the political equivalent of bringing a blowtorch to the Kitty Pinata party. First, Judge Curiel is no more Mexican than a taco bowl prepared at the Trump Grill in Midtown Manhattan, a wholly American creation born in the U.S., inspired by family tradition south of the border. And really, Jay, what is more quintessentially American than a kid born in Indiana to U.S. citizens born in Mexico, appointed U.S. attorney by a governor of California, born in Austria, ultimately named to the bench by the son of a mother born in Kansas and a father born in Kenya? Second, in 1990, while Trump was admitting in a federal court that he had hired illegal aliens on one of his own construction sites, then U.S. Attorney Curiel was taking down the baddest Mexican drug cartels and forced to go into hiding after a jailhouse stool pigeon told of a contract out on his life. Which means in the dissing of Judge Curiel, that Donald in the stroke of a tweet pisses off the 27.3 million eligible Latino voters, the largest majority of whom are Mexican. But there is an upside for the Donald. He's now on the VIP list for the annual Cinco de Mayo party hosted by the Arellano Felix drug cartel in Tijuana, Mexico. I mean, for smuck's sake, Trump has indeed managed to unite the party, if by party you mean the Aryan nation. Listen, Tom, if Donald thought California would be in play in November, memo to Donald, the only thing Californian in play this November will be the San Francisco Giants in Game 7 of the World Series. Hey, Donald, Stop pussyfooting around on this issue and just rebrand the Republican Party in your image. Move on the convention floor to change the name of the GOP once and for all for standing for the grand old party to get out Pablo. and that's the Smuck Report. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at Smuck Report. On to D.C. and the conventions and Cleveland and Philly. Look for Bernie to drop harder than Sonny Liston after the Muhammad Ali phantom punch. Look for Donald to go after Hillary like a Johnny Depp cell phone to Amber Heard, and Hillary to keep giving it to the Donald like Draymond Green going all Kung Fu Panda to Stephen Adams' jewelry box. Smuck off. Smuck out.
27 past the hour.